fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
But when they play the polka from Stevens Point, how we laugh, how we dance, how we shout. Then we grab our partner by the hand and we skip and scamper about. Rooted in that city of wonderful water. But when they play the polka, we'll drink anything but water. Lift your glasses to the sky and drink it down when they play that Stevens Point polka.
You're listening to the Stevens Point Polka, performed by Neil Zunker and the Music Connection, a Central Wisconsin polka band that has mastered the many styles of a musical genre that originated in Europe as a dance craze in the early 1800s and then came to America, where it became identified with our nation's German, Polish, Czechoslovakian, Bohemian, and Swiss immigrants. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we're previewing a polka party that will take place this coming Saturday afternoon in Stevens Point at Bernard's Country Inn, sponsored by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, to publicize the book Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka. It's a book written by Rick March. Rick will be there, as will Jerry Halkoski, a longtime radio broadcaster, musician, and dance host who grew up in Wausau and helped form the Happy Notes Polka Band with its late band leader, Norm Dombrowski. Up next on Route 51, it's a show about polka music, its history, its cultural influence, and its enduring popularity in north central Wisconsin. And our guests today are Rick March, Jerry Halkoski, and Neil Zunker. As always, we'd love to hear from you. If you love polka music, if you have a favorite band in Wisconsin, if it's played an important role in your life, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. And before we get started, that Salute to Polka Party, sponsored by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, is this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Bernard's Country Inn, 701 2nd Street North in Stevens Point. Neil Zunker, what's the history of the Stevens Point Polka?
Well, it was a band that we followed was a Polka Stars out of Stevens Point, and a gentleman wrote it, and they played it, and I remember the first cut I heard, Gene Schulfer was only 18 years old. He's gone now, so the song has been around for many, many, many decades.
And you got to play it for the daughter of the guy who wrote it recently.
Yeah, we were playing in Arizona, and a lady came up and said, would you play the Stevens Point Polka? My dad wrote that song. And I've met her before, like at some of the church festivals, but it was really special.
Jerry Halkoski, you've played with the Happy Notes in the early 60s. You've been a radio broadcaster. You play in a polka band today. And you've been an MC, so you must really be looking forward to this event on Saturday.
Well, you know, I guess the term full circle sort of comes to mind, because going back to my roots on Saturday and meeting people with whom I was affiliated. And, I'm looking forward to it. It's sort of a homecoming for me in a way.
Rick March, tell us about the book Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka. Why did you write it?
Boy, you know, I had the intention of writing it for a long time. My job at Wisconsin Arts Board had statewide responsibilities, and I was supposed to promote the folk arts of Wisconsin, and I saw that polka music was a significant folk art. I asked the musicians, you know, what could I do for you? And most of them said, we feel shut out of the media. You know, can you get us more on the radio? And so I started a radio program, Down Home Dairyland, and that resulted in all these bands sending me promo recordings to get on the air, and I met them and learned a ton about it, took up the button accordion, played with a lot of those bands, took up the banjo, played with some more. And so I just had a head full of this information about polka bands from all over the state and around the Midwest, and I wound up taking it on as a retirement project. I'm not that disciplined a writer that I can go to work all day and then write all night. But
it's a fun book to read, and there are great photos in it too.
Oh, yeah. I was so fortunate to have a good friend, Dick Blau, who had some previous experience back as far as the 70s photographing polka bands, and he's just awesome.
Now the the radio show Down Home Dairyland was initially on public radio, and you brought it back now. You're cobbling together a number of stations across the state that carry it. And if you're listening in north central Wisconsin, and you have to be because that's where the show is being carried, you can hear it on WILW Wapaka. That's 96.3 FM, Sundays at noon, and also Sundays at noon at on WSNP Stevens Point. That's 105.9 FM. We've already got a phone call. Let's go to the lines right now. We've got Tim in Wisconsin Rapids. Tim, you're on with Neil, Jerry, and Rick.
Hi. I heard the guest last name, Dabrowski. I just want to tell you I'm from Superior. My brother and my sister are married to Dabrowskis up there. Don't know if you're related to them, but favorite group growing up, the Shimoleskis were on every Saturday in Duluth Superior from the Iron Range with their polka show. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but my dad listened to that every Saturday, so I'm very familiar with that. We have a Polish club in Superior. I've been out of town for about 30 years. I don't know if it's still there. Enjoyed a lot of weddings there, a lot of polka music. I just have memories of people out on the dance floor throwing sawdust, and we really flew around that floor. It was a lot of fun.
Tim, thanks so much for the call. And, Rick, are you familiar with that group out of Superior?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know Florian Shimoleski, and, you know, quite a – he had one of the longest-lasting syndicated TV shows in the history of television. He was on for decades with Shimoleski Funtime, and you know, viewers got to see his kids from the time they were little in the band all the way till they grew up. A great show, and he featured a lot of the northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin musicians.
Tim, thanks so much for sharing the experience with us. We're going to listen to the Happy Notes right now. They'll be performing at the Salute to Polka Saturday afternoon in Stevens Point. This is a selection called Tinker Polka.
So in love with Amy, she lives across the street from me. She is the girl I idolize. She's as pretty as can be. She is the girl I idolize. She's as pretty as can be.
Jerry Helkoski, you were with the Happy Notes in the early 60s. You even helped them come up with the name. Tell us about Norm Dombrowski.
Well, you know, I don't know where I met Norm. It was probably at a dance where Little Wally was playing, and we had something in common. We wanted to establish a Little Wally-style band in central Wisconsin.
He was a big star in Chicago, correct?
Absolutely. He was a promoter of a style, the Chicago style, as Romy Gauss, promoter of the Bohemian style, Frank Yankovic, the Slovenian style, Harold Loffelmacher, Whoopi John, of the Dutchman style, etc., etc. But Lil Wally promoted the Chicago style, and sometimes, quotation marks, the Polish style, but the Midwestern Polish style, not the Eastern style. Anyway, Norm and I crossed paths, and I gave up my band and Wasa Jerry's Melody Notes, and brought in one of my musicians, Marv Stenzel, marvelous sax, clarinet, and concertinist. Anyway, we played our first job, I think, in May of 1960 after practicing a couple of months. So it was a major move because there's a sort of a new style band in central Wisconsin.
Neil Zunker, your impressions of Norm's influence on polka music?
It's been great because Little Wally, we all remember him, but Norm kept that style alive in central Wisconsin for decades. He did a wonderful job of pretty much imitating Little Wally. And when Little Wally came to Colonial Ballroom, he had Norm's band as a backup band.
And Rick March, let's get into the history of this music a little bit. You go into it quite a bit in your book. There's a history that goes back to the 1830s, where it started as a dance craze in Europe that was considered quite scandalous. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. It was sort of the Lambada of its day. It was... you know, you have to remember the 19th century atmosphere, and before that, you know, they'd been dancing minuets where all you maybe, you know, a man and a woman touched their pinkies together is all. But then these dances where they had their arms around each other and they were, you know, jumping up and down frenetically, you know, that was kind of the spirit of the times. It was, times were changing, industrialization was happening, you know, society was changing. But actually, Queen Victoria, you know, think about the Victorian age, Queen Victoria in the 1850s forbade the polka to ever be danced in her presence.
Well, it came to America, and this is something I didn't know. During the Civil War years, there was a rail splitter polka written for Abe Lincoln's campaign, and also polkas written in support of the Confederacy.
A lot of people don't realize that it initially came as a pop culture craze. It wasn't initially considered ethnic music per se, it was the hot form of dance in that period from the 1840s through the 1860s. So as with all pop culture crazes, it faded after a while. But around that same time, a lot more immigrants were coming from Europe who thought of it as part of their heritage, and the association changed more along the ethnic lines. But yeah, you know, rail splitter polka for Abe Lincoln, and there was secession polka and so on and so forth for the Southerners.
I would love to hear somebody performing those today.
Well, the sheet music is available at the Library of Congress's website. That's where the American Memory Collection, they have their sheet music. I was fortunate that they gave permission to have me use images from the covers of that sheet music.
So polka eventually became identified with the German, Bohemian, Czechoslovakian, and Polish immigrants to this country. They all had their different spins on the music. So let's listen to Dan Grutschmacher. He hails from Wausau. This is an example of the Dutchman or German style. Neil Zunker?
Yeah, this concertina, tuba, drums, horns. I mean, that's pretty typical. It actually has, I think it's almost a Bohemian name. I can't picture it right now, but all these songs originated from somewhere over in Europe.
This is called the One-Eyed Polka.
Yeah, before that it was called something else. Yeah, I forget what it was.
Rick March, why did they call it Dutchman style when it's performed by Germans?
Well, that comes from the word Deutsch, the German word for German, and so yeah, when we kind of casually use the word Dutchman to mean German in the Midwest.
And Jerry Helkoski, you grew up in Wausau, which has a very strong German influence, so I imagine you listen to this kind of music quite a bit.
Absolutely. My parents adopted me through the polka hop when I was about five, and we'd go to dances and Romigas and Six Fat Dutchman. Yeah, that was my initial exposure to polka music.
And you were in high school here in the 50s. We understand that you actually went to school with Dave Obie, who represented the Wausau area in north central Wisconsin for 41 years in Congress, and you've got some interesting stories about him.
Yes, I attended St. James Grade School with Dave. He was a year or two ahead of me, and I remember he was quite a student leader at Oconomowoc High School. I'm going to say he graduated in 55. When you say interesting stories, am I allowed to?
Well, yeah, you can share this with us if you want to, because Dave has shared it on the air before.
Okay. In St. James School, we had a nun who was quite authoritarian, and as luck would have it, Dave put in vernacular sort of decked her one day and was excommunicated from the school, if not from the church.
Let's move on to the Polish style of music. This is something performed by Neil Zunker's band called Tamaray.
La 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 la, hey, Donna Moya, Donna, Donna, Hawaiian lovers dance.
Neil Zunker, this is actually an Hawaiian folk song.
Yeah, Eddie Blazancik took an old Hawaiian folk song and called it the Tamare, the Hawaiian Dance of Love. And Eddie Blazancik was very, very influential, too, in his style of Polish-style music.
What are the characteristics of Polish-style polka music?
Well, he did it both ways. He can also play the honky style, which Jerry knows very well. But this is like two trumpets, accordion, concertina, bass guitar, drums, you know, just real driving, very, very good dance music.
And then there's the Slovenian style. Neil, this is another one of your selections. It's called the Wow Polka.
Yeah, this was written by actually the Polish kid, but it's a cross between Slovenian with a lot of accordions and bass and a little Polish flavor to it.
What are the characteristics of Slovenian polka music?
It's very melodic, a lot of accordions. It's close to, like, we're going to talk about Roger Bright, that Swiss, I mean, that whole, and Slovenia is very wide, like all the dialects of language. We got to tour Slavko Avsenik's home, and he wrote a lot of stuff, and that's a whole nother type of music. It's called Oberkrain music, but that's from the Slovenia area also.
And you've been integrating some of that into your act.
Definitely.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
Rick March, you talk about polka pockets in Wisconsin, and there are areas that perform Polish polkas and German polkas and Slovenian. Where are these different styles of music popular in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that term polka pockets popped into my head. You know, every one of my down-home Dairyland shows, I try to be a thematic show. It's not just a DJ show where I'm playing, you know, random tune after random tune. And so it occurred to me, did one that half the program was on the Marathon County and Portage County area. Well, no, I think it was just Marathon County in that one, and then down to Greene County with New Glarus, Roger Bray, and the Swiss. But you know, there's a kind of a style that they call the area around Lake Winnebago, sometimes Winnebago Land, and so you have bands like Jerry Schneider's that kind of typify the sound around in that area. There's up in some of the former mining areas up in the far north, there were Slovenian immigrants, and it's a lot of Slovenian music is in the far north, and some of it in Willard, Wisconsin, in Clark County, because a bunch of Slovenians who left mining bought farms in that area.
And then there's another.
But, wherever you go, there's certain things, and of course, Milwaukee is Frankie Yankovic, who has made the Slovenian sound. He's from Cleveland, but he said that Milwaukee was like his second home because his style of music, was and remains so dominant there.
Let's listen to another style. This is the Bohemian style performed by the Griner Brothers, which hailed from Wittenberg, west of Wausau.
Actually, they were from Edgar.
They were from Edgar.
Which is west of Wausau, yeah. And that, they were kind of, everybody listened to Romy Gaz, so the Jerry Gage Band and Griner Brothers were very much, they nailed the Romy Gaz style.
And John Griner, who leads a big band, Swing Shift, he's on the board of the Wausau Conservatory of Music, he came out of this family background.
Yeah, his dad and uncle started the Griner Brothers Orchestra.
Jerry, the Griners were pretty influential in the Wausau area during the 50s.
Absolutely. I heard a lot about them. In fact, my original trumpet player with the Happy Notes was the late Ralph Watuki. And after Norman, I found the Happy Notes had disbanded the Jerry's Melody Notes, and Ralph went to play with the Griner Brothers. And even though I left the area, moved down to Oconomowoc in 1966, I lived in Reidsville, and actually had a chance to job with some of the Bohemian bands in that area. It was rather interesting. When I taught at Reidsville, the students were either Irish or German or Bohemian. And so you had quite a mix, ethnic mix, but the polka band style was definitely Bohemian in that particular area of the state.
Now, I'm Bohemian on my mother's side. The name is Belsky, and it was my impression growing up in the Chicago area that the Bohemians really hung on to their culture for a long time, hung on to the original language, the original food. And I'm sure that in a place like northern Wisconsin, that must have been multiplied about 100 times.
Oh, I'm sure. I remember when I taught at Reedsville, Manitowoc County, the cooks at the school, I mean, it was really homemade food. I gained quite a bit of weight during those 4 years because they'd make these homemade kolaches as part of the school lunch program. Vitek Elsnick brothers and their musical corporation, I believe they were of Bohemian extraction. My wife is half Bohemian each side of the family. Her grandmother's maiden name was Zima, which means cold or cool in both Polish and Bohemian. While the cultures are similar, their music, the polka music, was quite dissimilar in many ways.
Rick, you write that the Bohemian style was one of the most complex forms of polka music.
Yeah, I would say that, and it's true to this day, that they rely on written arrangements to a greater extent than any of the other styles as they're played today. So you do have complex interplay of the brass and the reeds and so forth, and there's different parts, you know, of an A part that's repeated, then, you know, after eight bars, then another part, a B part. There's a famous tune, Grandmother's Joy, Lendler, that has six different sections, you know, in the arrangement.
So we're talking about polka music, which kind of evolved from the waltz, which is, I think, why, Neil, a lot of polka bands also play waltzes.
Oh, for sure. It's people love to dance the waltz and the polka. I mean, it's both a different type of dance, but it's very popular.
And somehow we've got another dance that
came
out of polka music.
We only play this if it's requested.
Rick March, who's responsible for the chicken polka?
Well, my understanding is that at the end of the 1970s, it was played at the Munich Oktoberfest as kind of a, you know, a fad dance, you know, like, I don't know, the Macarena or whatever. And most of those dances, you know, come and go, but a few of them, I guess you can say the hokey pokey has hung on. The chicken dance certainly, you know, ever since it came to the States, but I'd say the beginning of the 80s is when I started hearing it.
Yeah, I think Bob Kane actually started it on the organ. He had a big organ company in Milwaukee.
Bob Kane, that's right.
Bob Kane's
his recording, right?
Well, if you just joined us, we're having a polka party on Route 51 with Rick March. He's the author of Polka Heartland. He's and also broadcaster and musician Jerry Helkoski and Neil Zunker of The Music Connection. I'm Glenn Moberg. The Wisconsin Historical Society Press is sponsoring a salute to polka this Saturday afternoon at Bernard's Country Inn, 701 2nd Street North in Stevens Point, with music by The Happy Notes. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. We're going to take a short break. Here's Stan Freeberg with a little fun that he had with polka music and Lawrence Welk.
The whole ballroom is lathering up with bubbles, and now I can't see the cameras. Here, let me set the accordion down on the stage, and I'll try and fix that. Bear with us, folks, just a moment, please. Gee, the time is running out, and we haven't even played the polka. Wait a minute, boys. I didn't mean... Hold it, Alice. Don't polka on my accordion. Gee, Dad, it was a Wurlitzer. Hit the theme, boys.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Dental Health Associates, Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, and Viterbo School of Nursing. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Become a business sponsor. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Who stole the Kishka? stole the Kishka. Someone call the cop.
Round and firm and fully packed, it was standing on the rack. Someone stole the Kishka when I turned my back.
Who stole the Kishka? Who stole the Kishka? Who stole the Kishka? Won't you bring it back?
You're listening to Frankie Yankovic's boisterous rendition of Who Stole the Kishka as we continue our polka party on Route 51 with Rick March, the author of Polka Heartland, broadcaster and musician Jerry Helkoski, and Neil Zunker of The Music Connection. Again, the Wisconsin Historical Society Press is sponsoring a salute to polka this Saturday afternoon.
But give me back my Kishka.
Who stole the Kishka? Who stole the Kishka? Who stole the Kishka? Won't you bring it back?
And that's at Bernard's Country Inn, 701 2nd Street North in Stevens Point. Music by the Happy Notes. And if you would like to join the conversation here today, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Rick March, it's difficult to understate the importance of Frankie Yankovic.
Yeah, but before I say something about that, I have to jump back to the Stan Freberg thing just a little bit. You know, that send-up was great. But the original Bubble Machine of Lawrence Welk's is now owned by a polka musician in Milwaukee, Grant Kazera, who has a band, the Brewhouse Polka Kings. You can just hear him at the Lakefront Brewery, and he has the bubble machine going, and you know the kids run around and pop the bubbles when he plays.
Well, that's worth the price of admission right there.
And you know, to segue to the Yankovic thing, he has Grant. You know, he looked around online and purchased these things. He has an instrument called a Solovox, which is an early type of electric organ that Frankie Yankovic used. It is the one that Frankie Yankovic used. It is a little small keyboard. And Frankie Yankovic, you know, was the guy that in the post-World War II era modernized the polka sound. Part of that was he would switch off between a regular accordion with the reedy sound to an electronic sound with the Solovox. And you know, he put English lyrics to you know, the majority of his songs, so that, you know, people who weren't musicians would recognize them. He made the banjo an important part of it, you know, which was drawing on you know, like Dixieland jazz had the banjo and so forth. So he created a sound that was, you know, an Americanized version of Slovenian music, and it just caught fire in the late 40s and into the 50s.
Well, in the tune we just listened to, Who Stole the Kishka, I hear some real old traditional Eastern European themes in this work, switching from the minor keys to the major keys throughout the song, kind of like almost like gypsy dance music, I guess, if I had to describe it. And a lot of this music, as you were mentioning, Rick, was performed in the old world language. Here's the Happy Notes again.
Чия та дівчина, чия та, що я до неї ходив, чи зими, чи лето, що я до неї ходив, чи зими, чи лето.
This one is called Whose Girl Are You Waltz, and we're going to hear Norm Dombrowski, I believe that's him, also yes, singing in English.
Tell me, whose girl are you? Speak to my heart, please do. If you are spoken for.
Jerry, if you look around the Wausau area, you'll find gravestones from the turn of the last century with German inscriptions on them. We have polka music being sung in Polish. Those old world traditions are certainly important.
Yeah, they really are. The Chiata Jevchina, he's saying, tell me whose girl are you? And she's only 18 years old. And you do connect with the old world tradition, even like the selection just played by was Walter Solik of I believe, New York, who came out with Who Stole the Kishka, Kishka meaning blood sausage, Blutwurst in German, and all European ethnic groups had their blood sausage, of course. And the reference to using of German, like the band I play with, we sing in German, we sing in Polish, and a little bit in Spanish. We're trying to connect with that ethnic background. And as you say, you look at the tombstones in the Wausau area, a lot of German. And then, of course, just a little bit south toward Rothschilds and Mosinee and creeps in that not-too-concentric ring of Polish population. And that ring was the largest rural settlement of Polish settlers in the United States, to be honest with you. Your comment about the headstones and referring back to the ethnic roots, very true.
We've talked about the German, Polish, Czech, and Bohemian influences in polka music, but there's also a prominent Swiss tradition centered around the community of New Glarus in Wisconsin. Here's Roger Bright, who's performed in that community for many years.
Twilight mist in the mountain at a chalet in skies above by a rippling stream in the mountain we'll meet again here where we shall love.
March is there widespread Swiss influence in polka music, or is it pretty much concentrated in the New Glarus area?
Well, it isn't as widely known nationally. Now, it's important to note that Roger Bright was a band member of Frankie Yankovic's. He toured with him for several years until he got tired of life on the road and decided he would rather manage the New Glarus Hotel and play there every weekend. The Swiss and the Slovenians are from the Alps, and so their music is very similar, with just that it's in Swiss German and versus being sung in Slovenian, and there's greater emphasis on the yodel in the Swiss music. But yeah, it's something that we have very strong here in Wisconsin. But there aren't as many Swiss bands around the country as the other styles we're talking about.
I find the yodeling to be just really beautiful in that song, and
I think that's Denny Anderson, actually.
And it's got to be so hard to perform something like that. And there's a tradition using, the old world form of yodeling in country music. Hank Williams used it in his original songs.
And Wayne Horsborough used to come through town. He was the Australian yodeler.
There's also a Mexican influence in polka. Jerry Helkoski, we were talking about that a little bit on the telephone.
Yes. Rick stated it quite succinctly last Saturday in Lake Geneva when we had a historical Wisconsin Historical Society event there. You do have the banda, which should be the big sound of the tuba. I've seen banda groups, a couple of tubas, three trumpets, three trombones, clarinet. You have close to the border the Norteña or the conjunto music, which apparently features button accordions, not the artists like Flaco Jimenez, they do not play the left side, the bass. They're backed up with a bass guitar, sometimes a sax, drums. I can turn on a station here in Milwaukee 24/7 and listen to banda, listen to conjunto or Tejano music. A very interesting film came out, presented by Les Blanca Flower Films, called Chulas Fronteras, which featured all the great artists like Lydia Mendoza and Flaco and so many other Mexican-American and Mexican-Mexican musical artist.
And Flaco Jimenez has crossed over into the rock and roll market. He did an album with Ry Cooder, and I think he's performed with Los Lobos. And if you listen to his music, it almost sounds like polka music, even though it's a different tradition.
Well, that's because it is polka music. It's important to know that polka entered Mexico from Europe the same way as it entered the United States from Europe, and they've had it as long as we have, and it's remained even more popular in Mexico than in the United States. It's had its ups and downs, but in Mexico it was always popular.
And Wisconsin has its share of Scandinavian immigrants as well. Here's a song called 10 Swedes by Jim Peckel. He's another Wausau native.
10 Swedes met in Brooklyn. A more congenial lot never gathered in one spot. And while they met in Brooklyn, they filled the place with glee. But here's what's bothering me. They had one drink. They hollered, skull. And then the 10 Swedes shook hands all around. Another drink, another skull. And then the 10 Swedes shook hands up and down. They had four more.
One, two, three, four.
While I kept score.
Four, three, two, one.
And after each one, then they all shake hands again. It bothers me. Can't get it right. How many handshakes did those 10 Swedes make that night? Was it 90 or 300?
Neil, I don't think they ever figured out how many handshakes those Swedes had that night.
There was drinking involved, yeah.
Now, Jim Peckel, originally from Wausau, he graduated from UW Stevens Point with a degree in Bachelor of Music Education. He taught grade 5 through 8 instrumental music for 19 years in the Wisconsin Public Schools in Wausau. He started playing in the Wausau Concert Band in 1979. He was a conductor of the Lakeland Community Concert Band and the Rhinelander Community Band. And he's written for a lot of different types of groups, including band and orchestra, arrangements for jazz, Dixieland, and dance bands. And Neil, he formed his own Slovenian-style polka band with John Greiner on piano back in the late 70s.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. And then Jim's wife was playing the banjo, and he had a number of different bass players and drummers through the years, but he has been playing in the area for many, many years.
Rick, your comments about Jim Peckel and the fact that a lot of these musicians are very well trained with degrees in music education, worked in the public schools like Jerry has?
Sure, sure. There's a group more over toward the Green Bay Area called the Band Boys, where all of them were like high school band teachers. The musicianship, the quality of musicianship in polka bands is often overlooked. And the complexity of arrangements, a lot of them have, they modulate from, key to key. A real typical thing that happens in Polish bands, I think this started back in the 70s, somebody would blow a whistle, a referee's type whistle, and toward the end, the last go-through, and they would modulate up a key. That takes a lot of skill. That takes musicians who are on top of their, not only on top of their instruments, but on top of their musical knowledge.
Jerry Helkowski, as someone who loves polka music, who's performed in polka bands, you had a polka radio show, you're an educator. How do you react to the overall culture looking down on polka music and the people who like it, the so-called sophisticates in our society who seem to overlook so much of polka music that is, in fact, sophisticated?
That's the million-dollar question. It's difficult to sometimes discuss the beneficial aspects of polka music. We call it happy music, maybe a cliche, but I really am at a loss to explain it. The highbrows or the blue bloods might not want to accept the simpler sounds of polka music, often three chords, but of course a lot of minor chords and modulations. But I always say, no, just try it. You might like it. Just give a listen. I know I was rather apprehensive when I started a broadcast in 1974, because as a teacher, I felt I had to present a certain image, and I was afraid that this image might be tarnished by my going on the air and playing folk music. I just have to, a little aside here. Sometimes my students would come up to me and say, hey, Mr. Hal, my grandparents listened to you all the time. Of course, they never admitted listening. But yeah, that's a difficult bridge to gap to bridge. I think Rick said it earlier, or said it last Saturday, that you have to really experience the music, find out that it's really, again, a happy music, and just accept it for what it is. It is what it is. It's a simpler form of music, but it's from the heart, and people, I think, of all ethnic groups and all levels of education, et cetera, can appreciate the music for what it is.
If you just joined us, we are having a polka party on Route 51 with Jerry Helkoski, Rick March, and Neil Zunka. There is a salute to polka music being conducted by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press Saturday afternoon, this Saturday at Bernard's Country Inn, 701 2nd Street North in Stevens Point, with music by the Happy Notes. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a quick call at 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take another short break. Here's Richie Yurkovich from Willard, Wisconsin.
Polka time, Wisconsin style. Here's a recipe to make you smile. Polka band dances and a great dance floor. Mix together and you'll have a shouting for more. Polka sounds will fill the air. Polka rollers everywhere. Polka time, Wisconsin style. Recipe will make you smile.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Brown County Civic Music Association, Jewelers Workshop, and River Place Dental. You too can help ensure the future of WPR programs for years to come. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Wausau Conservatory of Music, presenting Taste of Jazz with music, hors d'oeuvres, and a silent auction. Saturday, February 20th at the Jefferson Street Inn, Wausau. WausauConservatory.org.
You are listening to a Milwaukee punk band called the Polkaholics doing their rendition of The Happy Wanderer. Rick March, this band is led by Donald Hedeker. He's a professor of biostatistics at the University of Illinois, Chicago. You write his music. Doesn't sound much like polka. He plays for rock fans. Their name is ironic because Hedeker's scholarly research concerns treatment of addictions. And you further write, the persona he projects in his polkaholic act is a double irony as he parodies the stereotype of the goofy polka musician that originated outside of polka culture. He is, in essence, mocking the mockers.
Yeah, I would say so. Don's parents are actually immigrants from Germany. And, you know, so he grew up familiar with polka as an ethnic music. But, you know, as a young guy, he became a punk rocker. And it occurred to him to blend the two in the sense that he plays a lot of the real standard well-known polka numbers, like you heard Happy Wanderer, which Myron Florin made so popular, you know, In Heaven There Is No Beer, you know, that type of number that everybody knows, but he plays them with punk rock instruments.
Go on.
The polka crowd doesn't really go to see him. It's not really for actual polka dancing.
Well, as we look at polka music moving into new territories, trying to shed its old folks image and appeal to a younger crowd, here's Jimmy Sturr with Arlo Guthrie.
ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Neil, that song sounds like it was written for a Polish polka.
Yeah, it's an old folk song, and talk about great musicians. Jimmy Sturz, the guys who play with him, their arrangements, they're terrific musicians, very, very professional.
And again, this is in the Polish style.
Yeah, basically.
Rick March, your comments, I guess, on the efforts to find new audiences for polka music.
Well, I think it's partly to find new audience, and it's partly because musicians are growing up in a world where they're exposed to so many different musical influences that naturally they absorb them. And in the book, I touched on a really outstanding band that draws from multiple music sources. That Copper Box from Oshkosh, Danny Jurabek Jr. and his wife Michelle Paul Jurabek were born into polka band families and grew up playing it. But you know, as they married and got together with each other, they got influenced by, for example, the New Orleans Zydeco and other kind of Louisiana styles, bluegrass, rock. And they blend it in with polka, but they can play straight polka too. They get booked at a lot of places where they want to satisfy the old folks and the young folks, and right in their a single set they can shift from polka to these other idioms. And
let's listen to the Happy Notes with some straight polka music. This is called the Bottoms Up Polka. Jerry Helkowski, it must be gratifying to you that the band you played with in the early 60s is still performing today.
It is. I was only with them a little less than 3 years, but you know, I'm so proud of what Norm was able to do, and then actually it became a family band and still in existence. I believe Norm's brother Chet is now drumming. Norm passed away about 3 years ago. So, yeah, to me, it was gratifying that this music is still continuing. Norm was able to do so much for the Polish sound throughout central Wisconsin. Yeah, absolutely, very gratifying.
And here's Neil Zunker with one last selection. This is the Rib River Polka. Once again, a reference to central Wisconsin.
Yeah, we recorded this album at the Rib River Ballroom. It's actually the Red Apple Polka, but because Jack over at Rib River was so kind to let us record there, we named it the Rib River Polka, but that's definitely Oompa style.
And Rick March, I want to end on a quote of yours from the book. About the secret to the continuing popularity of this music, which I think is that it makes you happy. You write, the crucial element in the world of polka is a sense of community. Polka people are happy people. It's a cliche you'll hear frequently. Polka music is happy music. For the past half century, polka has been scorned by sophisticates as the most uncool idiom in American culture, but as members of an often mocked in-group, polka people know that despite the mockery, they hold the secret to polka happiness.
Yeah. Well, that's how I said it. There's a fierce devotion to that. It's more than just a music and a dance. It's a culture. And people get together around that, and it's their community.
You guys looking forward, you and Jerry, to this event on Saturday afternoon?
Very much.
Jerry, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and hope we get a lot of people out there on Saturday. And Neil, thank you as always.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel. We've got the blues on the run.
We want to thank today's guests, Rick March, author of Polka Heartland, Why the Midwest Loves to Polka, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, Neil Zunker, leader of the Music Connection, and musician, broadcaster, and polka dance host Jerry Helkoski. A reminder, the Polka Party, a salute to polka in the heartland, is this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Bernard's Country Inn, 701 2nd Street North in Stevens Point, with music provided by the Happy Notes. Rick March's down-home Dairyland show can be heard Sundays at noon on WILW Wapaka, 96.3 FM, and WSNP Stevens Point, 105.9 FM. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritker. Special music today by the Happy Notes, The Music Connection, Dan Gritzmacher, the Griner Brothers, Stan Freeberg, Roger Bright, Jim Peckle, Richie Yurkovich, the Polkaholics, Jimmy Sturr, Arlo Guthrie, and Frankie Yankovic. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we are heading out of town.